Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Man, it feels good to have a stress-free weekend of football ahead of us, and that's due to a 21-point win last night in Miami. The Bills take care of Miami on Thursday Night Football, 31-10. Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, stopping by the sports bar to share his thoughts and his recap of last night's action. And let's start with what Gene touched on there at the top of his update, Ryan. It's the Terrell Bernard injury, and I think a lot of us were nervous, and you know, rightfully so. That's one of your team captains on defense who's missing the majority of the game. Turns out the Bills' defense game plan was so good, it didn't really matter who was in their backup or not. They had an answer for anything Miami threw their way, but long term here, for the next few weeks at least, knowing Bernard isn't going to be in there, how confident are we? I mean, we got a lot of backups now playing on the defensive side of the ball. Does it even matter?
Well, I think it still does matter. I mean, you look at who they have coming up. They have Jacksonville on the horizon. Obviously, a few weeks after that, they have the Texans. I mean, they have a great lineup of teams coming at them, and those teams are going to start to maybe game plan to attack a Baylen Specter. They're going to, try to attack if Taron Johnson's not back in the fold yet. But it really does speak volumes, though, to the practice habits of these reserve players, that they can come in, and once it might take them a drive or two to kind of get acclimated to the game, as we saw from Baylen Specter. He seemed a little bit lost in the Dolphins' lone touchdown of that matchup. But the fact that they can come in and produce, the fact that you get a guy like Jamarcus Ingram, who's multiple interceptions, a former UB guy, UDFA, and coming in and showing his versatility through the first 2 weeks, Cam Lewis playing a big role. It just, again, the development of this roster over the last few years, it says a lot about the talent that the Bills have in the front office in terms of eyeing guys that can come in and contribute as UDFAs, and then as well with the coaching staff itself, with bring these players along.
Yeah, I think one of the storylines certainly here too is just the coaching itself. And let's start on the defense. Certainly this is Sean McDermott's defense, but the idea that the Dolphins were knocking on the door saying, hey, Bobby, come on down and join us, and he stays last night. What did you think of the game plan, Ryan, where the Bills provided those results, and they hardly blitz only twice last night?
Yeah, the results spoke for themselves. And, Miami did sustain some longer drives. They were able to get it into Bills' territory, but they were able to always kind of get stout near the goal line, whether it was Tua in or obviously late in the game, Skylar Thompson. They forced multiple turnover on downs. The run defense was the big issue last night, but, Bobby Babich put on a master class in terms of how to slow down that Dolphins passing attack. And I guarantee you, teams facing Miami the next few weeks, if Tua comes back down the road, they're going to follow that blueprint in terms of exactly what the Bills are doing, playing fast, playing downhill, being aggressive, being good tacklers. That doesn't always work out for other teams, but for the Bills, it did last night. And you had to be frustrated if you were Tyreek Hill, 3 catches for 24 yards, never gone over 100 yards against the Bills in the regular season in his career, and he's had Mahomes throwing him the ball and Tua throwing him the ball. Waddle had a lot of his production on one catch last night, but for the most part, he was shut down too. Babich called a great game, and, for the last 6 quarters, you can say that this defense has been pretty close to elite when you compare it across the league, which is, again, saying something, because you're without Matt Milano, you're without Taron Johnson, you lose Terrell Bernard so early in this matchup, so that next man up mentality, they don't just preach it for no reason. They expect the guys to come in and do their 111th, as they like to say.
Well, the tone was set early on. You had the Tua pick, the first Tua pick, and then short field for the offense. But it was the play call on 4th and 3 from the 17 there in the red zone on that first drive, Ryan. And man, the play call was exquisite. The execution was even better. The first touchdown pass, the first touchdown of the night, of the first of three for James Cook. Talk a little bit about McDermott, who we at times have been critical of for being too conservative. 4th and 3 in the red zone, going for it. What did they know that early stage in the game that this was something we could put these guys away early if we're aggressive? We put our foot to the pedal.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, maybe McDermott was looking at it as a bonus possession because they recorded the interception. You know, the downside would have been turning it over on downs, but having Miami deep in their own end. Whatever the reason was, I'm glad to see that aggressiveness out of Sean McDermott because the Bills line up. They don't like what they see. Josh Allen calls a timeout. In this league, when teams do that, it's more of like a 70-30 chance that you're going to see the field goal unit come out after that timeout, and they're going to settle for a field goal because they didn't like the look. They were some teams just try to get guys to jump. The Bills never wavered. There was never, you know, Tyler Bass running out of the field. Josh Allen and company never left, and it just kind of seemed like he probably communicated with Joe Brady, that being Allen and McDermott, like, okay, it looks like they're going to be playing man-to-man here. Give us your best play for man-to-man. And the pre-snap motion, the way that Cook just came open immediately, it, at the very least, it was going to be an easy pitch and catch for a first down. And Cook obviously was able to do a lot more than that and get into the end zone.
Ryan Talbot, the Shout Podcast, Syracuse.com, NewYorkUpstate.com. A lot of ways you can have the content of Ryan Talbot and Matt Parrino. As far as Josh Allen last night, now statistically far from his best game, right? In fact, it blows my mind that actually that is the first game, Ryan, against the Dolphins where he didn't have multiple touchdowns. But I loved his game last night. Just the idea that, and this is always a criticism we have, just not of Allen, but of the Bills, like, hey, it's got to be, you know, more than Josh Allen. I just thought he played a very smart game last night.
Great game last night. 13 of 19, so he's still around that 68%, which is seems to be right around where he is against the Dolphins every time, high 60s, sometimes low 70s. And he came very close to the multiple touchdowns, that throw to Ty Johnson on, you know, that got them down to the one-yard line. That was just a great play where he rolled out and made that throw. But, you know, one, he came into this game with there's a lot of questions about his non-throwing hand and that injury that he suffered against the Cardinals. And lo and behold, you know, 24 hours after the game's over, well, less than that, but about that time, we're sitting here talking about how he really took no hits in the game. The Bills did a fantastic job protecting him. Once they were able to sustain that lead, they were more than content just running the ball with James Cook and Ray Davis. And while they didn't really put up any points in the second half with that offense, I think they knew after the pick six from Ingram that that game was pretty much out of reach at that point, and that was okay in their books. Two straight weeks, over 30 points on the scoreboard. I think that the Bills' demise from the national media was a little premature on their end.
Ryan, will Khalil Shakir drop any of his targets this season?
I'm starting to wonder if that's the case. I mean, we can go back to last year, and he was pretty automatic late in the year there, too. And if that ball is in his vicinity, he's going to catch and he's going to hold on to it. I mean, last night there was that three-yard pass where Allen doesn't do this often. He kind of put Shakir in a tough spot where he was popped pretty much immediately after catching that ball. And he just popped right up. It was no big deal. 3 yard gain on second and long. I think it set up like a 3rd and 13. And then there was obviously the hit from Poyer that drew a flag for the additional 15 yards. It doesn't matter. It just seems like this guy has those sure hands. That was one of his strengths when he was coming out a few years ago in the draft, was the hands, the route running, the intelligence. And we're seeing that on display. I know that no one in the passing game had a gaudy stat line for the Bills last night, but any time that the Bills need to make a play, it just feels like Shakir knows exactly where he needs to be, where he needs to sit. If he has to move a little bit to the left or the right, he just can find those pockets or those lanes where Allen can put it on him, and as long as Allen delivers a catchable ball, it's going to be caught, and the Bills are going to be able to move the chains.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, Syracuse.com, as the Bills get the win down in Miami, Buffalo at 2-0. You mentioned Jordan Poyer. Boy, I hate to kind of pick on him a little bit here, but it certainly seemed like, at least judging from last night, the Bills made the right decision to kind of move on when they did.
Yeah, that angle he took on the 49-yard touchdown run from James Cook was brutal, to say the least. He drew that penalty in the game. Josh Allen was able to look him off long enough on another completion where it just kind of felt like the Bills were able to toy with him. And I thought that Poyer last year, late in the season, as the season went on, he did get a little bit better and better. But just like in Miami, in this game, he got off to a really slow start last year, and you had to wonder, how much of it was he had simply just lost a step at that point in time. And it's clear to me that he has lost that step. He can still be a valuable contributor in Miami, but the Bills knew it was time to move on, and it looks like a very smart decision at this point in time.
I'm not going to take anything away from the game that Von Miller had, because he got another sack. This is two straight games now that Von Miller has had a sack. I mean, seeing Von Miller and the spin move and the angles that he's taking, it does conjure up images of Von Miller being Von Miller. The key to this game defensively, I thought, was going to be that defensive line. And it wasn't just Miller. It was also Ed Oliver in the middle. Talk a little bit about what you saw out of that Bills defensive line. Was that more a product of the Bills defensive line having a great game, or Miami's offensive line being patchwork, especially as the game wore on?
I think it was a little bit of a mix of both. Obviously, late in the game where they were replacing multiple starters, and the Bills were kind of able to wreak havoc on them. But early in the game, I was watching Von Miller, and Von Miller popped on my screen at least four or five times with his pass rush moves, sometimes using power, a lot of the time using the speed, sometimes, you know, just kind of the way he was able to get inside of the defender. It reminded me of the vintage Von Miller, and there were more plays in that game against Miami than he had all of last season in Buffalo as he was working his way back. So I really do feel like, you know, this is a really positive development for the Bills, and that Miller looks more like the player that they signed for a few years in free agency, the way that he was averaging about a sack per game. He looked outstanding. I know Greg Rousseau didn't necessarily have any sacks yesterday, but he had a big chase down tackle on Skylar Thompson on a fourth down to create a turnover on downs when Thompson tried to run with the ball. Ed Oliver was great last night after, you know, being pretty invisible in week one. He was winning his matchups, making life difficult, getting underneath the Dolphins O-lineman, making plays in the run, and also obviously that sack on a fourth down to create a turnover on downs. I loved even AJ Epenesa. I know Epenesa didn't record any sacks, but he and Von Miller were pretty much neck and neck on one of those plays in terms of getting home. So across the board, that starting defensive line had a really strong game.
Ryan, of course, it's just human nature that we can't just say positive. I don't know the level of concern. A lot of people might have checked out of the game by this point, or fallen asleep, or just simply missed it. Tyler Bass didn't look well. That last miss of 45 yards. What is the level of concern today with Tyler Bass?
You know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I had a lot of fans telling me after the game it was tipped. It was not tipped. At least it wasn't to my eyes. I went back and rewatched it on the TV, and it did not look like it was tipped at all. But it does look like his plant leg. He slipped a little bit. So I'm gonna say the wet field, because it had rained earlier in the day, that may have played a role in it, the wrong cleat. Although I will say his first field goal make, I thought, was pretty low and could have been blocked. So there's still a level of concern, and that miss was terrible. I joked that it looked like one of those fans that the Pat McAfee pulls out on the Saturday game day, where he gives them $25,000 or $35,000 to try a field goal, because that thing was just no chance from the start, the way that just went off to the left. So I'm hoping it's just the plant foot, and that kind of threw off the whole procedure of the kick, because the snap was good, the hold was good. That kick itself, though, was definitely something that Tyler Bass is going to want to forget about here pretty soon.
Ryan, let's look ahead. A lot can happen in the NFL between now and a week from Monday, when the Bills take the field at home on Monday night to take on Jacksonville. So what does the world look like when we get to that point a week from Monday? Do we assume Baylen Spector is going to be in there with Bernard missing some time here? How are you feeling about that? Do you think Taron Johnson is anywhere near closer to being back? Are we going to get another game of Cam Lewis there as the nickel corner? And will this offense continue to gel the way we've seen them gel so far, even though, you know, in last night's game, the production wasn't eye-popping. It was just efficient.
Right. You know, at linebacker, yeah, I'm anticipating Baylen Spector getting the start, Joe Andreessen potentially being active for the first time in his career. It's probably going to be close to that full four games when it comes to Terrell Bernard missing time, and maybe the Bills end up putting him on the IR, which, fine. I mean, you have so many players you can bring off of that if that's what they feel the timeline is. Taron Johnson, part of me still says it's going to be another week and he'll be out, and if so, that's okay. I feel like what they've had from these young players, Cam Lewis showing his versatility, what we've seen from Jamarcus Ingram, everyone really stepping up in that secondary, the way that Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford have already shut down some pretty good receivers and pass catchers in these first 2 weeks, it's extremely promising. And, you know, Jacksonville is a team that gives the Bills some fits over the last few years. They've played some really close games, even the ones that the Bills have won. I think this, you know, a little mini bye, the extra time off, is going to benefit them in terms of drawing up a good game plan against them at home, getting to see another, you know, game of Jacksonville on tape, them having a little bit less rest for this matchup. So there's a lot that bodes well. And as for the offense, you know, through 2 weeks, Joe Brady has done a fantastic job of being efficient with the football, moving the ball up and down the field. The way that he is willing to make this a more, I don't want to say a 50-50 type of offense, but he isn't going into this saying, Josh, you're going to be throwing the ball, you know, 40 times each week. There might be some weeks where he needs to do that, but there's also going to be weeks where James Cook has performances like this and Ray Davis rips off some big runs and there is more balance to it. So I like that he is more open to that. That helps Josh Allen out a lot because it'll help in terms of moving the ball on its own. It'll help with play action pass. And you hope that by Monday night, the left hand is healthy enough too, where maybe he's not even wearing that glove.
Yeah, Ryan, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the other side of the ball last night. And it's interesting to me, and it's kind of a statement on human nature. Like, the main storyline nationally really isn't, hey, look at the Bills, are 2-0. There might be something there. That's getting overshadowed by, oh my gosh, Miami, and did they mismanage the Tua situation and Tua himself here? As far as Tua and the Dolphins, your thoughts on this, and where does the story go from here?
You know, the last time he suffered a concussion, he was healthy all of last season, but he missed the playoff game against the Bills a few years ago, and kudos to the Dolphins. They said, we're not going to rush him back after he sustained that final concussion of that season, and he just wasn't healthy enough to go. It took a long time for him to clear the concussion protocol for the Dolphins that season. So even if he wants to come back and play, I think it's going to take a decent amount of time, so they're going to have to go with Skylar Thompson and maybe sign someone off the street, or maybe, you know, pluck Mike White from Buffalo's practice squad and sign him to be their number two for the time being, whatever the case may be. But in terms of two of the players, this is something that he needs to sit down and reevaluate. Last night's hit was not a, you know, some kind of missile shot where DeMar Hamlin came flying in and lowered the shoulder and got him. Tua literally ran into Hamlin. Hamlin was just kind of wrapping him up, and the way that Tua's head and neck ran into Hamlin's chest, the way that his head snapped and the way he went down, it was scary. I mean, you knew immediately as he was down there on the ground, something was really wrong. And I know his mom was really pushing for him to retire after the 2022 season. I know he just signed this big contract with a lot of guarantees that would go away if he were to obviously retire. But you have to think long-term. He has two young children. He has plenty of money in the bank right now. If you want to be involved in football, there's coaching, there's commentary. There's still ways to be involved, but you have to think long-term about your health. And hopefully, you know, whatever decision he makes, he's at peace with going forward, because that was just a very standard hit where, you know, Tua definitely should have slid. He already had picked up the first down, but there's going to be a lot more hits like that in his career, whether it's from the blind side as he's in the pocket, or whether it be, you know, when he takes off and scrambles like that. And it's a scary thing to think about based on what we've seen over, you know, the last three seasons, including this season being very early on with him and concussions.
Ryan, at minimum, if we see him back on the field, I mean, somebody needs to protect this guy from himself. Should we see Tua wearing a guardian cap if he gets back on the field?
You know, I don't know why not, why he wouldn't, and I cannot think of the player that is doing that this year. One guy has been very vocal about it. He says, I don't care if I look cool. I want to be able to, you know, remember things later on in life. I want to remember my career. I want to remember, you know, playing with my kids and all this stuff. And, it, you know, I don't know if it is with these players an ego thing or what, but if these prove to protect your brain as they say they do, and protect you from concussions, I don't know why you wouldn't be wearing them out there. I think it would be just a very smart decision on Tagovailoa's part to wear the guardian cap if and when he returns.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, The Shout Podcast. Now, Ryan, it's a little mini-buy here for the Buffalo Bills. Is it a mini-buy here for you and Matt here? What's coming up?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we are going to pod again probably on Sunday, either before the 1 o'clock kickoffs or later in the evening, kind of reevaluate where everything stands in the AFC East if we do the latter show of the two, and maybe preview a little bit as well of what we saw from Jacksonville potentially. So we will be definitely getting together at some point this weekend, and then once that week begins, we'll have our staple show on Wednesday. We'll have our preview on Friday at Wingnut, and then the game, like you said, in prime time. So never a dull moment if you're a Bills fan.
Ryan, what does the world look like on Monday if the Jets are 0-2?
Probably not much different than what it's been the last decade or so, I guess, because that team hasn't been that great. And, you know, honestly, I sat there last night after the Dolphins game and said Miami's very lucky that they're not 0-2. They were a Travis Etienne walk-in touchdown away from probably being that case, but they stripped him of the football where it would have been 24-7 at that point and turned things around. So there could have been a lot of doom and gloom there, and I think there still is now, knowing that Skylar Thompson is going to be kind of running the show for the foreseeable future. The Patriots, despite that very impressive week one win, are expected to still be one of the worst teams in the league. So this could be another year where people, you know, were writing off the Bills, saying that they're the Jets and the Dolphins. It was one of their years, and the Bills could maybe potentially cruise to another AFC East title.
Ryan, appreciate the time as always here on a Victory Friday today. Thanks, Ryan. Let's do this again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
You got it. There's Ryan Talbot covering the Buffalo Bills, NewYorkUpstate.com, Syracuse.com, The Shout Podcast. Yeah, that's what I'm licking my chops for, man. I'm pulling for an upset. I want Tennessee to upset the Jets.
Is that
0-2?
Is it an upset?
I mean, they're home.
They're home.
Are the Jets favored going into that game? I'm fairly certain they are.
Yeah, I mean, it was 3.5 Tennessee when I last looked here. Sorry, just pulling this up. It is no, I'm sorry. It's the Jets by 3.5. So
the Jets,
yes,
our favorite.
Yeah, like a home opener for Tennessee, and they can't be as bad as they were last week.
I kind of want to dig into some more of these matchups on Sunday as well. We got Happy Hour coming up next on The Fan Rochester. A Victory Friday. You're welcome to join us with your thoughts on yesterday.
Yeah, and there's been so much going on here, too. When we get the shots coming up, could they, because we love to make fun of the Oakland A's, could the A's move to Sacramento fall through?
Aye.
Yeah, there's one guy in baseball that is a very powerful guy that's saying, no, they're not going to play there.
866-4326 is our phone number to join us. 866-4-F-A-N.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.